interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a Tuesday, 7th day of May edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Live on 1037 The Game for the next 2 hours. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And really, we've got you held hostage here from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We're going to lead off with LSU football. After all, first week of May, I had a national outlet want to discuss it yesterday. 15-minute interview turned into about a 25-minute discussion. Nationally, people interested in change surrounding LSU football, in particular, the offense. Here's why that's different than what you're used to. And I'll spin this forward into some sound from Coach O last night as part of the Tiger Tour stop in Shreveport. Locally, when beat writers, broadcasters, locally, when people have discussed change to LSU's offense, it's going to look different. I promise it's going to be different. I went out to practice. Trust me, it looks different from all the stretching and calisthenics I saw by the way they lined up. Right. That's the same song and dance you've been hearing for about the last, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 off seasons. I understand why you don't believe it. I'm kind of to the point, and I know I was a part of that media contingent that was distributing said nonsense. We didn't know it at the time. We thought Cam Cameron's coming in. Hey, this won't be a yes man. He'll challenge less. We thought, hey, Matt Canada, Mr. Innovation. He loves the jet sweep. That's neat. Well, by and large, we were wrong. And locally, I understand why you feel like you were sold a bill of goods when you had that discussion. But from a national perspective, I think it means that there are enough people within the game that are talking. And it's not exactly just wordplay. And it's not just for the sake of discussion. And it's not to sell newspapers, magazines, radio and TV shows, podcasts, whatever. It's because there are people within the industry that are chirping. And because LSU not only won 10 games last year, but also because they're recruiting their backside off right now from the west to the east and, oh, by the way, occasionally here in Louisiana. And so there was national interest last night. People were quizzing me. Good interview with Noah Eagle as part of ESPNU Sirius XM Radio. Why is this offense different? And when you discuss what's going on with Joe Brady and you use the Saints angle, that resonates on a national level. Oh, yeah, we've heard of Alvin Kamara. Sure, Mike Thomas. We even know your battering ram, Taysom Hill. And so when that guy is interjected into LSU's offensive decision-making, people are standing up and taking notice. I'll tell you what's important about all of it, though. You have to have synergy between Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady. And there's not only, by all accounts, synergy. Ensminger was one of the people that wanted this hire. He was part of the LSU group of coaches that went to visit with the Saints last offseason. He saw the way that worked from the inside. Ensminger invited the council into his room, into his booth, onto his sideline. He wants it, for crying out loud. And that starts to tie in to what Coach O said last night. Again, they've got the coach's caravan. It's a tour of stops, which, whoopsie-daisy, for the second straight year, doesn't seem like it'll include Lafayette. We'll see if that changes. I've been told it's possible. But it began last night, and isn't this the way that you brand? It began in Shreveport with Jacob Hester doing a live radio show. And they are just flashing 318 everywhere, making sure they can lock down North Louisiana. But in the port city, Ed Ogeron went in on his offense. Joe Brady coming in. Joe Burrow returning. Here's exactly what he had to say.
Remember this time last year, we didn't have Joe with us. So he's back with us for another year. Our team has confidence. Steve Ensminger has done a great job of transitioning into the spread. Joe Brady has brought a lot to our offense. Our guys are excited and pumped up about the new offense.
Let's keep talking new offense. But as O has been adamant in saying, the new offense that still maintains a lot of physicality. Kevin Faulk, part of that coach's caravan in North Louisiana. He sat down about 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point. Myself, Kevin, Ruffin Rodriguez, Rufino's on the river. He told us then it's a new offense. He told us then it's different. As he told the folks in Shreveport last night, here's exactly what you can expect from Ensminger, from Brady, and from Burrow.
It gives you the opportunity to show off your weapons. Not saying that we never did that before, but when you're in 3-4 receiver set, you got a lot of guys out there that can do some things that, with the ball in their hands, can really make them things happen for us.
And again, you've got the feeling of deja vu. Probably a decent portion of YP, you people out there in listener land that are saying, Ben, damn it, I don't need this for my heart and my sanity. It's May 7th. I don't need to hear about the new offense. I'll see it come the first week of September. Okay, well, no, you won't. You'll see it the second week of September in Austin. All right? Let's be very clear about that. Don't unload the full clip until you have to. And you're going to see more of that rollout when LSU plays at the Texas Longhorns, when they're presumably going to need some more of it. But I can tell you that it's a lot more than just coach speak. It's a lot more than just what local talking heads are saying. Irony, of course, I'm here locally, I have a head, and I'm talking. Just trust me on this. And if you don't trust me, how about some more from Coach O? And he discussed one of their standout receivers, not coincidentally, as they were in Shreveport. Keep telling you about this. It's all about recruiting and branding. He discussed Terrace Marshall, a very, very promising wideout from the Bossier City area.
Like I said, Terrace is a possible starter. He had a great spring. You know, he had that injury. It took a little while to get it healed. He's a great young man. He's going to be an outstanding receiver for us.
If Terrace Marshall is a quote-unquote possible starter, that means very good things about what's ahead of him on the depth chart. One we know, Jamar Chase, one of the stars of this spring and a guy who had star-like moments as a true freshman, more of them than Terrace Marshall did. You know that Jamar Chase is toward the front of the line, as is Justin Jefferson. Who else can fill that void? Who else is going to be pushing Terrace Marshall? Time will tell. How about a couple more from Coach O? Then we had our first break, and I'll get you your guest list momentarily. Everybody has been wowed by the recruiting efforts. Coach O was asked about that during the caravan stop last night. Here's what he said.
We're excited. You know, we decided this year that we were going to go national. Obviously, we're doing a good job in California, a good job in D.C., great job in Texas. It looks like the Ohio area is opening up for us. There's a lot of interest there. But when you recruit national, it takes a lot of work. Our guys on the road recruiting 24-7 right now. I have an excellent staff.
Sounds like he's getting ready for primary season. The dude's running for president. We're ready for California. We're ready for the East Coast. Ohio's opening up for us. Clint, shame on me. I didn't include this as part of the show prep. I see you clicking feverishly. Are we in lockstep here? Do you know where I'm going with this? Who was the freaking crazy man about 3 or 4 years ago that wanted everybody to know exactly what state that they were going to? I just remember that he ended it with a pew! Very good, my friend.
Howard Dean.
Howard Dean.
About 2004. It was during the John Kerry election campaign.
We always associate some of the great sound bites of all time with somebody. Maybe I'm the only one, but nobody actually remembers Howard Dean's name. We just remember, and we're going to Washington, and we're going to Alabama, all these places. Just a primal yell. Yeah, I need to vote for that guy. Somehow Coach O makes more sense than what I just heard. That's gibberish right there from Howard Dean. We got much better guests than that coming up on the show today. Pew! No question. Jake Madison on the other side of this break. We'll go more on the NBA playoffs. We'll talk some Pels. David Griffin in-house. Are they really trying to keep AD? Is that realistic? We'll ask our friend Nola Jake, a.k.a. Mr. Twitter Tinder Tuesday. On the other side of this break, our only scheduled guest of hour number one, and from 5:05 until 5:30, your favorite, back in the building. No more trips to Punta Cana. Shea Dixon talking LSU recruiting. Clemson momentarily has jumped over LSU for the number one spot in the 2020 rankings. Shea's going to handicap the race between LSU, Clemson, and Alabama, and they are all three leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else right now. So first the recruiting, then we flip the script. It's sort of Game of Thrones related. It's more TV, though. Just trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So Jake Madison next, Shea Dixon in the 5 o'clock hour. Plenty more goods coming at you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Ben Love here for Relief Windows. Did you know Relief Windows also offers new construction windows? Not just replacement windows.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
We've got like four New Orleans-themed bumper songs in the cachet. Clint just keeps rotating them. But I'll take the big timers. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Speaking of the Big Easy, let's head that way. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, it's our good friend Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans Daily Podcasting fame. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
So I believe the last time we spoke, we were previewing a first round of the playoffs that it didn't look terribly enticing. And it wasn't. We didn't really have a lot of series that went down to the wire. Now we're up to our eyeballs in them. With the exception of Milwaukee up 3-1 over Boston, everybody is knotted at 2. Any surprises in that grouping for you?
You know, I think there's a few, yeah. You know, these are maybe a tightly contested series, more so than we were expecting. You have the Warriors that kind of, I don't want to call them self-imploding, but certainly kind of tearing themselves apart from within, with rumors coming out today that Klay Thompson doesn't want to be there. It seems like this is just kind of the last run for this Warriors team, which isn't exactly how we thought this was going to go. You've also got that Portland series after they basically dismantled the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. You're seeing really great adjustments on the side of the Denver Nuggets to keep that series even to 2-2. I'm really excited for that game tonight. And just overall, it's been a lot of fun in the second round. You're seeing Kawhi Leonard be one of the best players in the world, but you're also seeing Philadelphia with Joel Embiid, when he's healthy, making a difference for him. So this is just kind of a really fun second round that we don't normally get.
Let's hone in on Houston and Golden State. Rockets won 112-108 last night to even the series up. Do you get the sense that the Rockets are liked, maybe even just kind of tolerated league-wide? I know that James Harden isn't always everyone's most popular player. And here's part of why I'm asking you that. At this point, will the league take anything to break up the Warriors, even if it means the Rockets winning it?
You know, I don't know about that. I think, you know, the Rockets, in terms of their style of play, isn't well-liked by fans around the league. It's not the most fun to watch with that ISO-heavy style of kind of drawing almost cheap fouls, but not quite, because they're illegal to, you know, fouls to get to the free throw line and shoot free throws and win games that way. But I think right now, you know, the Golden State Warriors being good has been good for the league. It makes them really intriguing. There's a lot of star power there. Them going far and lighting it up in the finals and the playoffs has been a lot of fun. So I don't think they're looking necessarily to have a team topple them and, well, it's you know, the Rockets will do. I think you're more just seeing kind of the Golden State Warriors have run their course. These guys seem sick of each other. Kevin Durant reminding people of how great of a basketball player he is while also seemingly having one foot out the door. And this is kind of how maybe their dynasty ends. It's been interesting to see from that point. And it's not so much the Rockets are going to beat them as much as Golden State's going to kind of beat themselves.
Talking shop, NBA playoffs. Going to get this to Pelicans basketball with Jake Madison on Twitter, at Nola Jake. We'll go to Philly and Toronto. They play tonight north of the border. How have they been able to successfully integrate Kawhi Leonard in right away? And this is a team that, I believe, for two straight years, Jake, was the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. They couldn't get past LeBron. They don't have to worry about this time around. But still, getting Kawhi in-house and playing this well even in the playoffs, how did they get to this point?
Yeah, you know, they kind of shook off a lot of what made them the Raptors before, and that was that mid-range game, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry leading them, and they moved out DeMar DeRozan. In comes Kawhi Leonard, who has a far more efficient game and shows that he's so much of a better player than DeMar DeRozan is when he's in form and playing his best basketball. You're seeing him get to the rim. You're seeing him shoot threes, contested threes over double teams, which only a few players can really hit on a regular basis. He's one of them when he kind of wants to do that. And just really lead this team. But they're also still the Toronto Raptors, and this is a team that probably has more talent than the Philadelphia 76ers top to bottom, at least 1 through 9 in terms of those guys there. But they're knotted up in the series because they're still the Toronto Raptors. They're still some of that Raptors DNA that struggles in the playoffs for them. You said it, they've been a top seed the past 2 years, and they haven't been able to get past LeBron James. They've blown series leads. And you're still seeing that. Kyle Lowry only shows up every other game, it seems like, right now, rather than being a consistent playoff threat. And until they get that, it's going to be kind of difficult. But they're giving Kawhi Leonard more of the ball, letting him just kind of do his thing. And you see it. He's going out, putting up 30-plus on a nightly basis. But they're losing when no one else on that roster really contributes. So it's kind of his show. That's what's carrying him so far. But they're not going to get past this round with the 76ers unless Kyle Lowry consistently steps up his game.
Jake, the final series of the four we have in front of us right now, and tonight we've got Game 5, Portland at Denver. It's tied at 2. Nikola Jokic, I don't know that everybody outside of the regulars that follow the association knew about this guy. He is 24 years old. He was a second-round pick back in 2014. How much has he done to put his stamp on the league right now, and can you win a title if that is your best player?
You know, I think it's a bit tough to win if he's your best player. He is a big man who needs to get someone to get him the ball. And if you kind of deny some of that, you can kind of take him out of the game. The good thing for them is they have creative ways, whether it's off-dribble handoffs or others, to let him kind of get the ball in his hands. He's a guy who puts up triple-doubles regularly, a big man, that center who can give you 10 to 15 assists on a nightly basis with some really crafty passing. And it's been great to kind of see him shine in the playoffs so far, probably being the best player in this series, in a series that has a lot of star power. But if you want to look at what's got this series knotted up, and Portland might be the better team, or at least they should have the best player in Damian Lillard, they've done a good job of denying him and how they defend him and making adjustments where Oklahoma City did not do that in the first round. You're seeing them kind of take a page out of the Pelicans playbook from last season, where they're picking up Damian Lillard almost the second he crosses half court with the ball and throwing a double team at him there or trapping him hard that way and at least not giving him those wide open, open three-point looks. At least you need to contest it, get the ball out of his hands. That's probably been the difference maker more so than Jokic in the series, I think, is taking Damian Lillard down a level from where he was in the first round, which was incredibly high.
We'll finish up with the New Orleans Pelicans, the team you cover most closely. Again, Locked on Pelicans, the daily podcast where you can follow Jake Madison. Last week we had a national beat writer on, and he said it wouldn't surprise him that David Griffin, in-house in New Orleans, if they were able to keep Anthony Davis around. Is there anything that's changing your mind on that subject?
No, I think they're going to take a good run at it, and you know they should. And it's doing your kind of due diligence to at least speak to him and try and sell him on the future of this team. You know, you look at the situation here. He had just come off a first-round sweep of the Portland Trailblazers, getting further in the playoffs than he ever had before, and kind of immediately was just like, I want out of New Orleans. It takes a lot to push someone to that point, which should show you all it really is about the state of the organization leading up to that decision that he had to make. And so now that you've kind of cleaned house and you're restructuring things and showing, particularly the hiring of Aaron Nelson, the head trainer from the Phoenix Suns, who's now here in New Orleans, that things are different, maybe that's what it's going to take to convince him. It wasn't going to take a trade or other players. It was going to show that your process and your mindset is different. And David Griffin immediately has stepped in and started to change that perception and that culture here in New Orleans. So I think that's a big thing, that if Anthony Davis wants to win games, and if that's the most important thing to him, it might be better here in New Orleans than any of the teams he could be traded to, which are also going to be gutted in any trade with New Orleans to bring in Anthony Davis. So maybe it is just smarter to stay here. And if it seems like there's one person around the league who might be able to do this, and if you saw his opening press conference, he comes off very impressive. David Griffin's probably the guy.
One more for you, Jake. Former Hornets/Pels head coach Monty Williams has taken the job in Phoenix for local fans that wonder, will he succeed there, maybe to a higher extent than he did down in South Louisiana? What would you tell him?
No. And that has nothing to do with Monty Williams so much as it has to do with the Phoenix Suns organization and what they've been for the past number of years. And they also have probably the worst owner in the NBA in Robert Sarver. It's interesting because their GM, James Jones, who's been in the interim all season long, only recently confirmed to be their actual GM, came out and said, we need to add established NBA player to this roster and not just young guys, rookies, guys with potential, which has just so many shades of what Monty Williams went through here in New Orleans with Dell Demps and his young vets model in trading away first-round pick after first-round pick for these established NBA players to complement Anthony Davis. And we saw that that didn't work, and now they're about to go down that path in Phoenix with a head coach who's already been through this before. It just doesn't bode well for their future. They're just not a well-run team, and I think that's what's going to cause them not to have success. Although I will say, you know, we kind of look at Monty Williams in hindsight better than he was here in New Orleans. This is a guy who I believe his head coaching record is something like 60 games under 500. You know, he's a great human, maybe one of the best people in the NBA, but there were a lot of questions about his offense, the tactics, and the approach he employed here in New Orleans. So I don't think he's got that going for him either, but really it's that Phoenix Suns organization that's going to hold almost anyone back.
Jake, always great to visit with you. We're going to be following along at Locked On Pelicans Podcasting. Thanks for dropping in.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
The great Jake Madison, Mr. Twitter Tender Tuesday. And even on his special day, Clint managed to track down the entire Howard Dean sound. On the other side of this break, we'll kick that flavor in your ear. We've also got, I think, a different sink or swim question than you're accustomed to. I think so, at least. Getting some good feedback already on Facebook. They get it before you do. Call that a sneak peek. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
So dang much going on today. Just got to find a way to land all of these planes, make sure none of them crash into one another. I'll explain. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint taking you home and right back in on 103.7 The Game. I've got a sink or swim question. It's coming momentarily. Clint unearthed from the annals of internet history the awesome Howard Dean clip that we've already referenced today. We're going to run that your way, but we've got a lot more as well. From 5:05 to 5:30, double dose of Shea Dixon. Between now and then, in our next segment, I'll also give you three LSU players in the top 30 on next year's NFL Draft Big Board, according to Matt Miller. And I'll tell you just how many Alabama players are in that same grouping. Could be an interesting draft class if any of this comes to fruition. And after our show today, 6 o'clock, we're out of here. And we'll send you to Baton Rouge. The pregame show for LSU La Tech baseball begins 6:30. Your first pitch, Chase Costello on the mound for Paul Maneri. After that game is done on Acadiana Sports Station, Tiger Rag Radio will air. If you're more of an Astros kind of guy or gal, we got you covered on our sister station. Don't forget Astros game 2 versus Kansas City, 6:35 Astro launch. 7:10 first pitch from Minute Maid Park. It'll be on KVOL. The Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. Danny Duffy versus Colin McHugh there. All right, enough of all the things we have going on. Let's get to some of my favorite sound of all time. And if you thought Ed Ogeron, LSU football, from a recruiting standpoint, if you thought they were going to California, to Washington, to D.C., Iowa, everywhere, Howard Dean's covered it all.
If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something? You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington
at Michigan, and then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
Oh, that's amazing. That's every single time it's great. And you know that if you were at the rally in attendance, probably for the first four or five states he rattled off, you're like, yeah, yeah, I'm behind that. And then after like four or five more, you're like, all right, this is probably a little much. This guy might be losing his marbles a little bit. And by the end, with the primal yell, it's like, I'm no longer on this side. I'm going to walk over to the other side. I'm going to switch my allegiance. I'm just doing something different. Can't support that guy anymore. Wanted to make sure we ran that back. For everybody who either didn't get the reference earlier, or more importantly, if you did and like me, you just needed that sound in your life. All right, enough of that. CD, time for some different type of music, a little more harmonic, and then I've got a question.
Love, exciting and new.
After last night in H-Town, Rockets, Dubs, locked up at two games apiece in one of the two Western Conference semifinals. And so it's become at least possible, although write the Warriors off at your own peril, it's become more possible, at least, that the Warriors, well, they might not win this year's Larry O'Brien Trophy. So that kind of got me to thinking. And this is on the hater side of sports, but hey, if you can't hate, then why are you doing the whole sports thing? That's just kind of how I look at it. Here's your sink or swim question of the day. Which would make you happier? Option one, the Warriors don't win the NBA title this year. Option number two, the Red Sox finish below 500. Currently, the Sox are 17-19, and it's actually getting a little better. It was worse than that. I'm picking two bigger market clubs. I'm picking two defending champs, and I'm curious which one, if they fell on their ass, would please you a little bit more. But by all means, since we've already gone the Howard Dean route, we've opened up the political door, I'd love a write-in here. Just keep in mind, it's got to be which demise that you would take the most perverse sporting pleasure in. Don't call me and tell me I'd be happiest if LSU or UL won the College Baseball World Series. Well, of course you would. That's not what this exercise is about. We need you to go on the other side, the dark side. So which would make you happier, the Warriors don't win the title or the Red Sox finish below 500? Clint, you're up.
You know, like, just in terms of the poll question, I got to go with the Warriors not winning the NBA title this year because I think we've seen enough of it. And give me some new blood. Like, you can about imagine how entertaining it probably could wind up being. Let's say James Harden, CP3, taking on the Milwaukee Bucks with the Greek Freak in the house or anybody else out of the Eastern Conference. You get to see some fresh blood in there. I mean, you remember back whenever you had the Detroit Pistons right after the Lakers dynasty kind of fell off a little bit with the whole Kobe Shaq fiasco. So I enjoy a little bit of a fresh blood. I think I'd be happier if the Warriors don't win the NBA title this year.
That's fair. And so far, everybody on Facebook agrees with you. I'll share their sentiment. We're fishing for calls as well. Get hooked. Bloods are everywhere. 706-0111. But as we are a Facebook people in Acadiana, let me give you some of your representation here. I like this a lot. Matt F., Warriors. Sox had 80 years of losing. Okay, that's fair, right? Traded Babe Ruth away for the rights to some kind of play. That's a big early 20th century thing to do. Would never happen in the modern era. But Matt F. is correct. The Sox have had a lot of losing in their history. It's time for the Warriors, and maybe the lawyers as well, to experience some losing. James S., Warriors losing. Tim P., both. Oh, that's a hater in the house right there. Dominique D., he's going to get me to try and say a word here that's going to make me stumble on radio. Damn it, Dominique. He says it's the Warriors not winning the title. That would bring him the most pleasure and make him happier of the two. The reason, see if I can get through this, the Schadenfreude. It's a German word. The Schadenfreude of losing a title is much sweeter than the pleasure from rooting for a team to just be below average. So I get what you're driving at. You're looking for the bottom to completely fall out. Just being below average isn't enough humiliation. So from that perspective, I'm right there with you. I'll give you my take in a second. We got calls flooding the phone lines. Let's get to them. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, up first is Dustin. Dustin, which is it for you?
Red Sox below 500 because I'm a Yankee fan.
Well, that was easy. I mean, that was almost too easy, and I like it. Thank you, Dustin.
No problem.
I figured we'd get the Yanks contingent. I knew we'd get the Astros contingent. You want failure for one of the potential chief rivals to the Stros. Sox won it all last year, along with the Yankees, the Astros. They were considered top three coming into this year. You might say the Dodgers, I guess. But they have been stunningly bad so far. A lot of people taking some joy in that. Maybe none more than Dustin, our resident Yankees fan. Let's get back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. James, you're up. Which one is it and why?
Hey, I've got a write-in candidate.
Sure.
When it really goes dark, I'm going to say the Lakers and LeBron get a lottery pick next year. They're that bad.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That's a really good write-in candidate. And let's add this log on that fire. Monty Williams, probably desperate for just about any NBA head coaching job he can get, just intentionally chose the Phoenix Suns, which has the worst owner in all of basketball in Sarver, according to our last analyst. Monty Williams just chose the Suns over the Lakers. That's got to make one hell of a statement throughout the league.
There you go.
James, I like it. That's a really good write-in. He took it to the next level, though. It's time for the Lakers to get a lottery pick. You think you won the LeBron lottery? No, you're just picking in the NBA draft lottery. That's outstanding. We'll get one more at least. Back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. John, thank you for waiting. What you got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Because I don't have a dog in the race, meaning the Pelicans, I'm hoping Boston, because they knocked out my Astros. I just hope that they finish lower than 500.
They need to experience some pain because of what they did to your Astros last year.
That's correct.
It's as simple as that. Thank you, John.
All right, my pleasure.
See, the fact is this, especially in sports, hate isn't hard. You just got to admit it. It's got to come to who you are. I mean, I could make a Sink or Swim part due if I really wanted to, and I could fit it to just about any program or franchise we frequent. And I want you to seriously think about this in the break. Don't hurt your brain or anything like a icy. No brain freezes out there in Acadiana. But do you love LSU more than you hate Alabama? Do you love the Saints more than you hate the Atlanta Falcons? Or I guess now the LA Rams? Or maybe even Roger Goodell? Do you love the Raging Cajuns more than you hate Arkansas State? Or I guess maybe ULM would probably be a better example. On the gridiron, it's been a little bit more of the Red Wolves, but we'll say ULM in-state. And then all of that gibberish with, you know, the directional school thing, the UL, the ULM. Yeah, you get where I'm going with that. I don't know. Maybe some of you are different. But a lot of people I know, their hatred for the rival is probably a little greater than their love of the hometown. Just stew on it a little bit. When we return, happy to take more phone calls, especially with that last can of worms I just opened. You might have your own thoughts there. 706-0111. I'll also share Matt Miller's 2020 Big Board. Three LSU players in the top 30. And I'll spill the beans here early. Professional tease. 18 of his top 31 players hail from the SEC. More on that when we wrap up hour number one. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
To the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Warriors don't finish first, or the Sox just kind of suck. Which one would make you happier? That's what we're asking. Still taking your responses. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. The number to play, 706-0111. Don't forget, we got Shea Dixon hopping aboard just about 15 minutes from right now. and we'll have him for a half hour to begin hour number two. A lot coming your way. We'll throw some shade then as well. Max Kellerman has put his name in the hat there, and even myself, I'll catch a little secondary shade. More on that at 5:30. But again, I'm curious, if you're that enthralled with the idea of dethroning Golden State, and for a lot of you, there may be some greater good there, right? It may just be, or it may be more, rather, than just, hey, they don't win this year. If, as Jake Madison suggested about 30 minutes ago in the program, there is discord in the locker room, if Klay Thompson is sick of being around, if this helps to break up the Warriors, then yeah, might have to take this one for the team and let the pretty unlikable Houston Rockets go ahead and win this one. And I know Pelicans, old school Hornets fans, they know exactly what I'm talking about. CP3 leads the way at point guard. Eric Gordon is a six-man extraordinaire after, you know, just generally not wanting to be in New Orleans. And then there's James Harden, who is the flopper and who does every single step back, multiple step move that you could ever make. So how much satisfaction would that bring you as number one? And then number two, you could answer, is it just the Red Sox stinking? All right, CD's got another one, and now we're going to find him. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Ken, thanks for calling in. Which is it for you?
Well, number one, I don't like baseball, so that's an easy thing for me. But, you know, speaking of Golden State, you know, before Steph Curry and Klay and all of them got there, they were doormats of the NBA either, so I'm not tired of seeing them win. But, yeah, I don't like baseball anyway, so it's going to have to be baseball, Boston Red Sox.
All right. It's a good answer. And I got a follow-up. Thank you, Ken. I got a follow-up thought. The ironic part about the Warriors is that they did it the right way until they didn't. They did it the right way in terms of winning, building through the draft. They drafted Draymond Green when he was kind of a diamond in the rough behind or in the eyes of so many in NBA front offices. They drafted Draymond. They drafted Steph. They drafted Klay. They put that team together. No question about it. They had a guy in Mark Jackson coaching who hadn't done it before. They did it the not-so-modern way until they kind of reinvented the modern way, until they looked at what the Boston Three Party did with Garnett and Pierce and Allen. And then they really ramped up what LeBron did, going first to Miami and then, to a lesser extent, back to Cleveland. They did it the right way until they didn't, and until they just started attracting mainly Kevin Garnett. And since then, maybe a guy like Boogie Cousins, who we know is not even playing anymore. So, you know, the Warriors were a bit of a doormat, no question about it, Ken. But they took themselves out of the mud, and they built themselves into what they are now. It was only when Kevin Durant, when that straw kind of broke, that this whole narrative changed. All right, we could take more calls on that. I had one other topic I wanted to get to in hour number one. Matt Miller, BleacherReport.com, released his first, and I mean way early, 2020 big board for next year's NFL draft. 18 of his top 31 hail from the SEC. It really is an incredible number. And if you want me to break down by program, I could do that for you quickly. Alabama had nine. Freaking nine of the top 31 players in the country per Matt Miller. LSU and Georgia both had three. Auburn had two. Florida had only the lonely. They had one. As for LSU, I'm more in agreement with his assessments than whoever it was that Shea Dixon and I discussed a week or two ago. I can't even remember who the analyst was there. Might have been Daniel Jeremiah. I just can't particularly remember. But that analyst had Christian Fulton ahead of Grant Delpit. You're trying a little too hard there. You're doing too much. Not the case for Matt Miller. He's got Grant Delpit as the number three overall prospect heading into this draft. He's got Kayvon Chaisaw at number 17. Interesting. And he certainly has the talent. We'll see if he comes back that way from injury. And Matt Miller has Christian Fulton, number 30 overall. For what it's worth, I mentioned nine, a staggering nine Bama players. He's got Jerry Jeudy as the number two overall prospect, the wide receiver, of course. Tua Tagovailoa, the number eight overall prospect. And I'll give you one more from Bama, just because he's from Louisiana. Dylan Moses, linebacker, from U High in Baton Rouge, the number 15 overall prospect, according to Matt Miller. One other interesting note for you, Jake Fromm out of Georgia slots in right behind Tua as the number 9 overall prospect. Very interesting. All right, let's take a trip now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. James, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Ben. You took the words out of my mouth. I used to be a basketball guy, but ever since this culture of, you know, all the big names culminating on one team, I seriously haven't watched the playoffs since Durant went to Golden State, but, you know, that's just me.
You're not alone, and unfortunately, the phrase, if you can't beat them, join them, that's not only seeped into the NBA, it is the NBA.
Yeah. All right, Ben. Appreciate it.
Yo, James, I appreciate you. I hate when I do that, Clint. I don't know when it's going to happen, obviously. You know what I mean? I'm not telepathic. But when you take a caller's words out of his mouth, I just respect the ones that hang on the line anyway because they want to chat it up. So respect to James there. But, you know, the ones that they're like, oh, well, you stole my thunder. Screw you, guy. And they hang up. Okay, I get that too. Maybe a little bit less respect, but I still get it. But the Warriors absolutely built this thing the old school way. They did it through the draft. They did it with a coach that was, you know, wet behind the ears. Then they brought in Steve Kerr. They won one, and from there it was Durant, and it was, well, kind of a unfolding, you know, kind of unloading, I should say, clown car of guys that just wanted to come in and join the fray. All right, CD, enough of that. We've saved enough room. We've carved out time in the 4 o'clock hour for one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Reversal. And if you're Coach O in LSU, you have to hope that what you're doing on the recruiting trail right now is going to lead to a reversal or maybe even just a leveling of the playing field when it comes to what I just described to you. With Matt Miller prognosticating that 9 of the top 31 prospects next year are at Alabama. And look, that's a preposterous number. It won't be that high. Could be 6 or 7, but it won't be 9. You got to hope with the recruiting that you're doing at LSU that you can kind of level things up, or that there might even be a role reversal. Maybe by the time you get to the 2023 draft and we're hollering at Matt Miller for his big board, the numbers, the optics are different. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're halfway home ourselves. We're coming right back in, bringing Shay D with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. I'm Ben Love, the guy over there on the other side of the glass. We're in the Kermit the Frog green today. It's the famous Clint D., and that means this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. For the next hour, we got you. From inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, Shay Dixon hopping aboard momentarily. As in within the next 90 seconds. And we're going in on recruiting first, then we're flipping the script to something a little pop culture-ish, but I do think you'll dig it today. And speaking of today, 17 years ago on this date, Allen Iverson talked about practice. Hey, we're just trying to make perfect. LSU baseball, they're coming up after us today. They're not trying to make perfect. They're just trying to get back on track. And hopefully they can do so without any rain delays. But right now, I'm hearing in Baton Rouge, it's starting to come down a little bit. I know around Acadiana, we're getting a little pop-up storm or two as well. So stay dry out there. But as planned, it's LSU versus La Tech, 6 o'clock, your pregame show from Alec Box Stadium. 6:30 is the first pitch. Chase Costello on the bump tonight for Maneri and Alan Dunn. And I'm not going to tell you tonight against La Tech is a big one, But certainly this week is awfully important for LSU baseball. They're looking for momentum. They're going to try to get it done on the road. Hasn't been kind to LSU and SEC play for the last 2.5 to 3 seasons. And they're going to have to do it again without Cole Henry. So the best way to maybe get ahead of this thing a little bit, to build momentum, is on a Tuesday night before a Thursday through Saturday jaunt in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So again, LSU La Tech coming up on 103.7 The Game after we're done at 6 on our sister station, The Rewind. It'll be Astros versus Kansas City, Game 2 from Minute Maid Park. Stros got the better of the Royals in Game 1. Tonight they're going to line up behind Colin McHugh and look to get the better of Danny Duffy. Astro launch, and that one starts at 6:35. Your first pitch at 7:10. So a lot to get to, not just after the program, but over the next hour as well. We're throwing shade. We're taking your calls. But before any of that, it's time for our weekly visit. It's one of the interviews that all of you look forward to most.
Bring them out. Bring them out.
It's time for Shay Dixon of Go247.
You better believe he is here. And now it's time for us to grill him before he in turn grills me. Shay D, how the heck goes it on a Tuesday?
Oh, it's going well. Things are nice weather. We're not having to cover any college football at the moment with all spring done. So I'm good. I'm heavy in recruiting and I'm low in college football.
That's not a bad place to be at all. Nah. And speaking of recruiting, you know it best. Let's get right to it. This past weekend, you were part of a very interested throng of media contingent, as Les Miles used to say, at the state track meet in Baton Rouge. Give us some of the fallout for LSU's commits and prospects at Bernie Moore.
Yeah, well, nice Les Miles throwback there. I would say that the two biggest takeaways are these, and they immediately affect the LSU football team, or at least the guys that are on it, is two seniors who signed with LSU both won state. And I'll lead off with Trey Palmer. Trey Palmer was one of their two wide receivers. He was the earliest kid out of Cage Bahoa, which was Devonta Lee and Ishmael Sopcher. He committed first, got on board with LSU, and he went on Kangaroos, my favorite nickname team in the state. What's up there with a couple more? I like Wampus Cats as well. But anyhow, so Trey Palmer wins a state title in 1A, and he certainly was the best player on the field at all times for Kentwood. And he turns around and comes out in spring ball, and look, we knew, or I should say spring track season, we knew that he could run. He, early on in high school, was banged up, and he went to the opening, ran like a 4.7, and everybody said, look, when he's healthy, he's better than that. And I think he tested again. It was 4.4-something, 4.5, so you knew he was fast. But he goes out at Bernie Moore, as you said, the state track meet this past weekend, wins the 100, wins the 200, breaks the record in 200 for fastest time in 1A since 1985. So we're talking a long time, right? Nearly 35 years that record stood. It was another Kentwood guy he broke, but he runs a 200 that goes into the record books, and he runs a 100 in a time that was faster in high school, just to give perspective to it, than any 100 time that Kerry Vincent ever ran, that any 100 time Dante Jackson ever ran. And those guys have been considered sort of, right, Dante Jackson, the fastest man in college football, passed the baton, to use my track terms, to Kerry Vincent, who's now, like, hyped up as him and Anthony Schwartz at Auburn as the fastest men in football. But now they've got a kid coming in, Trey Palmer, who was faster than they were in high school and sort of out of left field. Those guys were marquee track guys. Trey Palmer is sort of a, hey, look, I run track and play baseball and play football, and football is kind of my thing. So that was a big standout, and some love to Haynesville up north for Joseph Evans, who goes back-to-back with shot put, state title winner. And as well, look, he was Defensive Player of the Year last year in 1A. He's a guy who I think will really, early on, and I don't know if that means next season, but early in his career, play above the level that people think. He was a three-star. He didn't have this sort of heralded recruitment process, committed to LSU, and stuck with it. But I really think that he's a guy who overall as an athlete is there and is going to fit in well for Ed Orgeron. So they're getting two kids who show up at campus in, gosh, 4 weeks or something, who can really, you know, athletically have a complete profile.
Shay, earlier this week, Clemson landed a huge five-star quarterback commit
And they kind of leapfrogged LSU, at least for the time being, number one spot in the class of 2020. We just got done with the Kentucky Derby, so I'll use a horse racing term for you. Can you handicap the 2020 race at the top? It seems to be Clemson, LSU, Bama, and then a big gap between them and everyone else, as you told us last week.
Yeah, Clemson last week when we talked, it was LSU, Clemson, Bama. Now Clemson has jumped. Or it might have been LSU, Bama, Clemson. Regardless, Clemson has jumped now to the top. They've landed kind of a slew of five stars in a row, even dating back to before last week when we spoke. But now they've got a nice grip on the number one class. And that's something, and I talked about it in articles and on the radio, but we all knew that was happening. Clemson isn't setting up for years to be kind of closing on a number of different guys, and some from their area, some not. But it was all setting up for them to have their best. Like, they've been hyping this as their best class they'll ever have, even dating through the past Dabo years of success. So they look on track for that. So if someone is knocking off Clemson this year for the number one class, it means Clemson either A, fell apart, or B, someone went absolutely wild on the recruiting trail. But the good news is the teams that are right there with them still are LSU and Alabama, and both, I think Bama has 16 commits, LSU has 14, and Clemson has 14. So everyone's in the general same range, LSU sitting at number two in the rankings. And look, I think when you look ahead at what LSU's got left, what Bama's got left, what Clemson's got left, if they all close, you know, with the same sort of momentum they've been riding so far, it's the biggest blowout race we've seen in sort of the past even decade. Of 1, 2, and 3 versus just everybody else in college football. And look, for LSU, that's the spot you want to be in. You want to be in the rich getting richer, and that's sort of what Alabama and Clemson have been doing.
Impressive company for Ed Orgeron and LSU. We're going to wrap up this segment with our guy, Shay Dixon. Go247.com. When does the next commit come in? You hear it all the time. You're getting it right now. I presume it's in the class of 2020, but when does it happen?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be in 2020. They don't have a 2021 commit yet, so whoever does pop will be the first. And we could see that. There's no timetable there. But I think we have a more firm timetable, as you said, on 2020. The kids who are in this class, about to be seniors, and they've got official visitors coming this weekend. They'll have about two or three guys on campus, so you could pop someone in. You know, then you're bringing in out-of-state kids, a couple kids from Ohio, one from Mississippi. So we've seen them do it before, right? They've been on this tear of out-of-state commitments. And then they sort of wrap up the eval period. They'll have some more official visitors towards the end of the month. But I think then you pour right into June, right? It's not far off, less than a month away. And you've got all of their prospect camps. And what they do there is basically the coaches get to have these kids on campus and don't have to rely on film or what they've seen from, you know, these regional camps and combines in terms of video or testing numbers or even what they get in the eval period at the high school. They've actually got them on campus at LSU working out side by side, sort of putting them through the gauntlet for a few days or however many camps they come to. And by that time, they always will say, look, boxes are checked. We like you. Let's push for a commit. So it would be shocking in the next month, let's say, if they don't add 2, 3, 4 more commits to, you know, what is a list that currently is sitting at 14.
There it is. And we got more coming on the other side, but we're going to flip it to a different topic. That's kind of what we do, right? When we flip the script today in honor of Game of Thrones, most addicting television. How does that relate to sports? Well, maybe it doesn't, but you're going to be entertained. Don't go anywhere. Shay's coming back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are Acadiana Sports.
Let's go, people.
Come on, back to me.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
We're going to do things different.
Can we be just like we
We're gonna flip the script.
It's time to flip the script with Shay Dixon on 103.7 The Game.
You know I'll flip.
Right back in, and of course, you knew we were just getting started with the intro from Coach O.
This is the Flip the Script portion of Bumper to Bumper Sports, still live and bringing you home on 103.7 The Game. And as you heard Ed say, it is time to bring back Shea Dixon. Go247.com. Shea, for the uninitiated, this is where we really turn the tables. This is where we give you control of the show and you ask me questions. In honor of Game of Thrones, and everybody seems to be infatuated with the Starbucks cup, and I guess what's happening within the confines of the show as well, you had a pretty dandy topic for today. At least that's the way it seemed to me off air.
Yeah, well, this one's pretty straightforward. People right now, like, okay, so even in the age of social media now, like, we are getting blow by blow of everyone's thoughts, whether not even live tweeting the episode, just all day long on Game of Thrones. And it leads me to believe this, or at least, you know, I'm curious of this, is what show were you, was Ben Love, growing up or even up to now, obsessed with to the level that you're witnessing right now with what seems like most of the vocal, you know, majority on Twitter, which is Game of Thrones? Is there, and you don't have to stick to the HBO genre, anything out there that you can remember being this dedicated to on a weekly basis?
You know, what's funny is I think when you kind of hark back to childhood, most people will talk about like Saturday morning cartoons, right? But for me, I was all about what ABC was spitting on TGIF. I know you remember TGIF Friday, Shea. I know this.
Oh, absolutely, Ben. TGI Friday. Was it? It was Thank Goodness It's Friday, not the restaurant, obviously, but that's just what it was called. It had the slew of shows. But then Nickelodeon, I mean, which wasn't so much cartoons, had the slew of shows, which were differently. So, and I think that was like an age group thing. Like, you graduated from the sort of Goosebumps and everything that came
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Nickelodeon. Are You Afraid of the Dark? It was all those kind of shows. That's what it was.
Yeah, and when you go to ABC, what, you step-lettered?
It's more of a teen crowd.
Boy Meets World, Step by Step, and even mentioning these programs now, wow, you know, that's what I was into. But hey, you know, as a preteen, that is what I was into. I would also suggest Saved by the Bell was fairly appointment television for me in its latter stages. So that's back in the day stuff, right? That's childhood stuff from the 90s. I will tell you that the most hopelessly addicted I probably have ever been to a show, I'll go tie for first. And on one side is 24. I was hopelessly addicted to Kiefer Sutherland in 24. And we'll get into this, I feel confident, in a moment. But again, this goes back to the day, and Game of Thrones might be one of the final ways where we all consume TV like this, or at least we're leading toward it, right? With all the binge watching, the immediate season releases to Netflix, Hulu, whatever. But 24, I remember waiting until every Monday night, and I wanted to know what Agent Bauer was up to. I was hopelessly addicted to it. The other part of my tie for first is True Detective. And obviously that's coming in more recent vintage, but I did not see season one in real time. I didn't have HBO at that point. Had I had it, I would have been absolutely, I mean, just slavishly devoted to it. I would have been counting down the moments till it came on. So I didn't get to live that in the moment. I did for season two, and it was a letdown. But I gave season three a chance this past fall, and I'm so glad that I did. So I would say that kind of like the early to middle portions of the show 24, and then this season three of True Detective, I lived those week by week and almost literally regretted doing everything else during the portion of the week that wasn't the day that show was coming on. And then all day the show was coming on, I had a pep in my step. So I don't know if that says something about me, but those would be my shows and how I dealt with them.
So what are some other popular ones, though, that if not yours, others? Because I know people out there listening and they're thinking about it. If social media were around like it is now with Twitter and all that, when Lost was on, I think it would have blown Game of Thrones out of the water.
That's a good one.
That's one that I think almost everyone, because that was college for us around then and then into post-college, but I think that everybody would have been into that, you know, and I think they were at the time, but given how they, like, you know, hang on every episode and the Easter eggs, that's kind of what Lost was built on, was the fan experience going along with it. So I think that's the best one to offer up, at least for me, because I actually watched it.
You know what's funny? All right, so on this show and every sports show, Shea, inevitably you have to talk about sports that happened before your day. but you've seen enough TV, you've read enough, you are related to people that watched it. So almost like, I guess, by proximity or experientially, like osmosis type stuff, you know about things that happened before your day. So in that realm, I have been told that the show Dallas probably would have fit the mold of what you and I are talking about pretty well. Apparently people went ape bleep over the final episode or whatever, the Who Shot JR episode. I can't imagine what social media would have been for something like that. So again, I didn't experience it, but you know, I get it. I know people that were gaga about it. I also would offer up the show The Wire, and it was around with Facebook, not exactly with Twitter. If The Wire on HBO were current while Twitter were kind of in its heyday, I think it might offer up some of the same type of stuff. Not quite as many Easter eggs per se, but just tremendously interwoven storylines, right? And I don't think it's a coincidence that so many of the shows were, you know, hashing through or HBO produced shows, right?
Well, I mean, we're forgetting what Sopranos would probably be what most people are screaming right now.
Yeah.
If you were a Sopranos fan, you were into like week by week, and then the final episode was like, well, just like that, right? It was the big debate over what happened. And so, yeah, I would think Sopranos would probably rank up there in terms of shows people have been most obsessed with. And that might be the crux of this argument, right? It's like, what shows were people just most obsessed with? And I think you could throw in Game of Thrones, Sopranos. I don't want to say
Yeah, you're losing, brother, you're losing an entire genre, and it is not my thing, not even a little bit. And I think it's becoming less of America's thing, but we're completely skipping over reality TV. I mean, we're completely skipping over Survivor and then all the competition.
I mean, okay, so I watch Survivor every Wednesday and have either on DVR or live back in the day since ninth grade. I don't think I've ever missed a season of Survivor.
Well, I know you, so I knew that, but they probably didn't.
But, I mean, Big Brother, Amazing Race, those are all pretty popular shows. But I don't know if people watch them with the same, like, absolute religious feeling, at least not across the board.
Yeah.
No way they're as close to being as popular.
And you know what's funny is sometimes when I think of reality TV, I mostly gravitate toward all of the singing and talent shows that I have to be 100% transparent. I don't give a crap about any of those shows, and I never have. And the fact that they're choking ratings, viewership, and everything out of not only the talent portion of it, but then like an after episode where they discuss it, to me is, that is the height of hilarity, Shay.
Well, people are watching. Not you, but there's people.
I guess people would probably make that argument. Wait a minute. You got a station on the radio and all you're talking is sports? I feel like Ron Burgundy trying out for ESPN on some of those clips back in the day.
Oh, there's another people watch religiously is when you get into The Office or Parks and Rec.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one, too. You know, I'm glad you mentioned it. I was huge into The Office, especially down the stretch. So even at the point where many had kind of jumped off the bandwagon, like I remember the transition from Michael Scott to, speaking of Will Ferrell, I remember his character name, D'Angelo Vickers. I even watched a little life after Michael on that show. So you're right, to the bitter end, I was on The Office.
Is it a bad thing that, well, actually, here you go. Maybe I am making a life change. You know, I just admitted to watching Survivor every week. Is that I've watched every episode of every show we talked about, except I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. And I have HBO. Never seen an episode.
I don't think I've told you this yet. We haven't talked off the air in a bit. You were over in Punta Cana, but Jen and I broke down. My wife and I are now on episode 2 of season 3. So basically in a span of like a week and a half or 2 weeks, we've just been absolutely crushing what she calls got and what I call goat. But we're trying to catch up. It won't happen by this season's end. Eventually we will catch up though.
And when are you now like one? Are you on Twitter? Are you just nonstop about it?
No, man. I still, you know, retain a life. I just now understand a little pop culture better. And it's not bad stuff.
Is it good?
It's not bad. It's not on the level of some of the epic shows that we've discussed prior. So it wouldn't go for me with True Detective. It wouldn't go for me with 24. But it's a different type of show. It could be a little too fantasy for me at times. But I'm glad that I've started watching it. And I'm not going to be one of those proud people that says, I'm above Game of Thrones. I'm not above it. You know, I just... it's not my absolute favorite, but I'm glad that I started.
So I'm one of those people who says that, just with my actions of watching everything but Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones elitist. There's no other terminology for you, and there's no more time left in this segment, but we thoroughly explored the space. You know, I appreciate you Go binge whatever's up. I know that Survivor is, what, tomorrow night, so go prep for that.
Yeah, so it's already on DVR. We're ready. We'll catch it with no commercial.
You're the man, Shay. All right, we do have to hit that break. We're coming right back in. Time to throw a little shade. Take your phone calls as well. It's just what we do on B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back around on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
I knew it was coming. That's why I gave you a Seinfeld-esque little joke there, CD, to sign off. The pun always intended. Even if it's not good, Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. The reason for the Seinfeld sounder, the millisecond that Shay and I got off the air, Clint looked at me and said, really? We're going to talk about addicting, must-watch every week TV shows, and you're not going to mention Seinfeld? You know, it pains me to say this, like deep in the cockles of my heart, but you're absolutely right. And if people were live tweeting Seinfeld back in the mid to late 90s, that would have been absolutely hysterical. So I'm glad we came in with the Seinfeld and you had to live with my out of this world pun.
Yeah, did not like that pun. But, you know, when we're talking about Seinfeld, like, and you bring up tweeting like during that show, imagine how great that would have been for one episode in particular. And that's the contest. And I think I need to say nothing else.
Yeah, I guess so. I think there were a lot that could leap to the front of the conversation, but that one would be up there. Yeah, no doubt about
it. Just the amount of laughter at the moment whenever Kramer kind of, he says, he's out.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
I get it. No, definitely. I'm on a wavelength, and I understand. We got time for your calls with you for the next 25 minutes of change. 706-0111. Always fun with Shay Dixon. Hop aboard. Answer anything you heard. Give your own rebuttals, your own responses when you can. Again, 706-0111, the number to play. While we're waiting, time to get to your daily reminder. Issue a little PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management. Top down, starting with Mark, they're going to sit down. And before this coming football season, they'll help you create a vision, and then they're going to fulfill it within your budget. You can do it before LSU, UL, and the Saints come marching in. Let the pros at Patio Center up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
A two for today, and we'll do our best with the power of radio to deliver something that I'm going to admit to you is better visually and through the TV/online medium. But lucky for you, I'll explain it after it's done. I believe it's only 16 seconds long. Earlier today on First Take, talk about can't miss TV, CD, clearly on the mothership. Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith, and Jay Williams sat down for a little NBA conversation, and Max Kellerman legitimately brought out the hot take, and this one's pretty warm, that Kawhi Leonard right now is playing better than Kobe Bryant ever did in his career.
Yes, Kawhi is better than Kobe was.
I think that's ridiculous. It's hard to get into why, because I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to be respectful.
What you can't see, and I'll paint a words picture for you here, the sighing in the background, what sounds like a chair falling, is Jay Williams, and you could tell that he's not doing it for effect or for show. Former Dookie Jay Williams quite literally turns his back on the set, stands up out of his chair, and does like some deep, meditative sighs. He just can't believe what he's hearing. That is among the dumbest takes that a human being has ever had in the history of sports media. Max Kellerman, boxing aficionado, boxed himself in with stupidity there. Kawhi Leonard better than Kobe Bryant. If you want to make the discussion that he's a more dedicated two-way player and that defensively he is more consistently excellent, fine. I'll entertain that. Then you're done. And you can't go there anymore. Then you have no legs to stand on. I mean none. You're not even like a pirate with one wooden leg. You got no legs to stand on at that point. Max Kellerman, the whole world is laughing at you. That's one of the dumbest takes of all time. But I told you this was a twofer as Clint reaches for the mic there. Don't cut me off of my show, bro. Secondary shade. I got to point the finger at myself here. I did my best to bury the Houston Rockets. I said after two love, more that I was hoping this series would just die softly and fade into the night. I don't know that I predicted it was going to. I was just kind of hoping that it would. I felt that the Warriors would win game three, the Rockets game four, and the Dubs would close it out in five back by the Bay. That ain't going to happen. This one's going at least six. Math dictates as much. I think there's a good chance that it goes seven. So shade at myself. I wanted this series to be done. Now it's not. Egg on my face and, well, hopefully no more fingers in James Harden's eye. It's only making him madder, and you wouldn't like him when he's mad.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
You're with that line of thinking, right, Clint? Yeah, but clearly,
yeah.
Kawhi Leonard's better than Kobe Bryant now.
Exactly. He's definitely, I'm in that line of thought right now, and honestly, I think we all can agree with this.
I'm trying to be respectful.
A zero to, by the way, when the voice of reason is Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Turn around. There's danger lurking ahead. Just yeah. Get the bleep out of the room. If he's the voice of reason in the room, you don't want to be in that room.
Yeah, definitely.
Some men just want to watch the world burn. Hate to go full, you know, Christopher Nolan Batman on you there, but, you know, them the facts. Kawhi Leonard is better than Kobe Bryant. A zero-time league MVP in Kawhi Leonard. Now, he's been a defensive player of the year. He is a tremendous two-way player. He's one of the best in the game currently. Top three or four left in the playoffs, no doubt. He might even be one of the best 4 to 6 players in the world. Regular season, postseason, throw it all together. Just at large, best 4 to 6 players in the world. I'm cool with all of those assertions, but better than Kobe Bean Bryant. That is an absolute travesty of a statement that could only be made on the mothership. All right, there's some post-shade. Now we got to take our final break of the program. Don't forget LSU La Tech Baseball. First pitch at 6:30 from the box. We're bringing to the pregame show at 6. If you're used to Tiger Ag Radio in that slot, we'll air it as soon as LSU and Louisiana Tech are done. We're not done just yet. We got some more. A little bit of meat left on the bone. We'll get to that next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Right now at Napa, grab a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $28.99. It keeps out harmful sludge to help reduce wear on your engine, which is important if you like cars that, you know, run smoothly. So keep your engine healthy with Mobil 1, now just $28.99. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 5/31/19.
He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Once more with some feeling. It's B2BS, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, and that means one more opportunity for you to answer our sink or swim question of the day. Which would make you happier? Behind door number one, the Warriors fail to win the NBA title this year. Behind door number two, the Boston Red Sox finish below 500. Our Facebook respondents have taught me, kind of reiterated, frankly, what we've learned on our call-ins to the show, that the people responding, hey, it's the Sox, by and large, they are New York Yankees fans who knew there could be so many of you in the Acadiana area. But we did have at least one caller that said, I love the Astros, The Sox knocked out my Astros last year, so by proxy, to hell with them. So, yeah, he's voting for the Sox there. Just about everyone else that's called in, just about everyone else on Facebook says the Warriors losing at some point in these playoffs, they would derive more pleasure from that. We haven't given any credence yet to our tweeps, our Twitter peoples. And, Clint, we don't give them much of a say anymore.
Yeah.
Twitter people are people, too, so we'll show them some love, even if you're not as numerous in Acadiana. How are they voting?
They're voting definitely majority going Golden State Warriors 62-38%.
Okay, there we go. So it's not quite unanimous, but certainly the majority
yeah.
has sounded off, and they're voting on the Dubs losing. You want to call in? We still got time. Again, 706-0111. Until then, we're going to bathe you in the sounds of the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. Going to let you hear first from Steve Kerr. And it's always a challenge when you're defending James Harden, not just because he's good, not just because he could shoot it, but, of course, the theatrics, right? Gets to the free throw line unlike any other. And after Draymond inadvertently poked him in the eye, he has been absolutely a man possessed. So, Coach, how do you D him up?
He's tough to handle, obviously. He's a great player and has a a lot of ways to score and get to the rim. And so we've just got to stay with it. But I think we've done this plenty of times, so we know what we have to do.
Quick aside, text to the program. Justin says, in a perfect world, the Yankees and Sox are both losers. Well, yeah, I get you. But I'm not sure that's going to be the case. The Yankees are battling through injuries and still doing so with aplomb. Now they're looking up at those white-hot Tampa Bay Rays at the top of the AL East. I just am not sure that's going to continue. And more on baseball later. It's a basketball segment, at least for now. More from the Warriors' side of the ledger. And Draymond Green, always good for sound. And he tells you here, it's time to challenge my teammates. They got to play more physically.
They're doing whatever it takes to win. And not that they're like doing anything dirty or nothing like that, but they're doing whatever it takes to win. And we're just kind of rolling in, like, oh, yeah, we'll box. And they slamming us. So we got to just change our mindset. And I think if we change our mindset, then we'll be just fine. But we haven't.
That's not bad from Dre. I don't think he's telling you right there that they're just going through the motions. They just aren't exactly throwing the first haymaker. In the last two games in H-Town, it's been the home team, the Rockets, that have been landing it, at least the first blow. We'll take it to the Rockets side, and we'll go to James Harden. He said it's pretty clear that after two losses, albeit them close losses, at Oracle Arena, the Rockets returned home and their mentality completely flipped.
I think our mentality changed, especially after game two, be more aggressive on both ends of the ball, defensively, making sure that everything that they get wasn't easy.
And so right now, that's one of three series remaining that's tied at two. The other pair of series that are knotted up, they'll take place tonight. One in the East, Philly at Toronto. One in the West, Portland at Denver. Want to get you ready for those ball games. Play a little bit of sound from both of those series. We'll start with the first of the two games, Philly at Toronto. And Danny Green says that it's time his team starts playing with some urgency, because if they don't, as we all know, well, the ground starts to fade from under your feet. There's not a lot of time left in this postseason.
Obviously, this time of year, we know every possession matters, so we're going to play as hard as you possibly can, and it may not go your way, but when you're not too emotional about each play or too down on yourself or too high on yourself, it allows you to move on and move to the next one without worrying about the last one and move on to the next one confidently.
And I got to say, if I'm looking at the two games to be played tonight, the one that most likely could or is more likely to go to the visiting team, I think I like Portland's chances of stealing one in Mile High tonight at Denver. I like Portland's chances more than Philly going on the road and beating Toronto. And it's not just because Kawhi Leonard is playing like a man possessed. By the way, he's still not Kobe Bryant. Different story. But I think Philly isn't getting the well-rounded performances they need out of players other than Joel Embiid. It's not been a banner playoff run, at least not in this round, for Ben Simmons. So if Philly's not going to get a well-rounded supporting cast performance, I don't think they go on the road and win. Portland, on the other hand, I think can. And it continues to just amaze me how much different this version of the Portland Trailblazers is than the one that New Orleans swept out of the playoffs. almost this time a year ago. And we'll go straight to Dame Lillard. He notices that it's been a competitive playoff series, and, well, they're hoping to continue that, and they're looking to get one in the win column tonight on the road at Denver.
I think it gives you a lot of confidence because it's not like, you know, in the regular season you'll say, you know, they never lose at home or this team never lose at home. But when it's the postseason, you know, you're going back and forth, you're playing the same team over and over. It just changes. It's just different. So I think knowing that we've won here once and also knowing that we haven't played our best yet. We haven't played a really good game in our opinion. So it will be great to have that happen tonight.
Bouncing balls in an interview. Still better than the LSU indoor facility for football. All right, one more. And this one, again, from the Blazers' side of the ledger, head coach Terry Stotts. His teams have pretty darn good chemistry, and I think that goes a long way to describing how they're better than the 2018 outfit of Portland.
I think we've had really good chemistry the last few years. We've had a group of guys that get along well, play hard. Obviously, losing in the first round last year may have changed things a little bit going throughout this season and certainly now in the playoffs. But I'd say for the most part, the team, the culture, the camaraderie is pretty much the same.
And we'll end with the only series that is lopsided. After going into the Garden last night and pulling out a dub, the Bucks, number one seed in the East. The Milwaukee Bucks are on the brink of beating the Boston Celtics. It stands at 3-1. And the best moment from the post-game presser, I don't think we actually have it here. And kind of like our shade, this one wouldn't make a lot of sense on radio, but the Greek freak, Giannis Anta, the rest of his last name, he was asked about the return of Marcus Smart and how much of a difference that made. And he basically looked down at the stat sheet to try and figure out who Marcus Smart is and if he did anything. But the look on his face is absolutely tremendous. And that's some good post shade that we have before we exit stage left today. I'll take you to the Boston side of things. Brad Stevens, head coach. I've told you before, I think he's a top three or four coach in the game. We're going to see if he earns his money now that his team and the Celtics have their backs up against the wall.
It's win or go home. You do the same thing you've been doing all along. You play the next possession to win it, and that's it. You focus on that. It takes a lot of mental fortitude. It takes a lot of mental toughness, and it reveals a lot. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to that challenge. We don't want to be in this position, but we are. And, you know, we've got to go to Milwaukee and do everything we can to give ourselves another chance to play here on Friday night.
Clint, your boy, Kyrie Irving, taking a lot of heat over his performance so far in this series. A bit of a no-show. And he says here, there's not really a comparison to the last time that he was in this spot when his Cavs were down 3-1. You may recall, to the Golden State Warriors. They came back and won the 2016 NBA Finals. Kyrie says here, nope, this ain't that.
It's hard to make any comparisons at this stage, you know, of anything. It's really hard because, you know, you just have an appreciation of where you were at that time and the amount of experience that was garnered, you know, throughout the series and throughout the playoffs and each of the runs. And as we, you know, look at our run right now and where we're in, you know, staying present. You know, it's hard to bring back that emotion to it because the difference in level is just the experience.
There you have it. NBA playoffs rolling on tonight. And there you have it on 2 hours of B2BS. Can't believe it's come and gone. It's been a lot of fun. Jake Madison, tremendous daily podcasting at LockedOnPelicans.com, was with us in hour number one. We were NBA playoffs heavy. But then he also shared his two cents on Anthony Davis and could he really stay with the New Orleans Pelicans. We also had Shea Dixon aboard. Some Game of Thrones slash, well, favorite, most addictive TV shows ever talk. But preceding that, he went in on LSU and how they could stay in the battle with Clemson, Alabama for the top of the 2020 recruiting rankings. Great conversations with Jake and Shea. If you missed either or both, highly recommend that you get on demand, 1037thegame.com or via our free mobile app. All out of time today. Got to thank the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love. Don't forget tomorrow. We'll be out at Musinpatu Pre-Owned, Jefferson Terrace in New Iberia. Come check us out if you can. LSU baseball coming up next. Signing off. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is KLWB Karen Crow.